I watched him hit about 20 shots, an effortless swing, a pie pan of divots. And mind you, at this point, he's in his 70s. So he stops, he takes a puff of his cigar, and he sticks his hand in his pocket, and he turns to me, and he says, "Young man, don't make me pull out my pistol."
Welcome to Out the Trap, a podcast that's all about Black folks in the game of golf. Tune in every Monday as I talk with Black folks from all walks of life who are passionate about this crazy game. Hear stories from the weekend golfer to the innovators of Black-owned golf companies and everyone in between. My name is Anthony McNeil, certified golf junkie and your host. Let's get ready to tee off. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode number 6 of Out the Trap. Once again, it's me, your boy, Anthony McNeil, back with another fantastic guest joining me here on the podcast. This gentleman, Mr. Russ Crockett, is part of the organization that's behind the Charlie Sifford 2022 Centennial Celebration. We're going to get into all of that and find out, because there's a lot of things going on around the Centennial Celebration of Mr. Sifford coming up in 22. And I want to talk to Mr. Crockett and find out all the details about that whole event that they're going to be putting on here. I think you guys are going to be pleasantly surprised to hear about this if you're a fan of Mr. Sifford. First of all, Russ, welcome to the podcast. I appreciate you taking time out of your day to come on and talk to me.
Yeah, thank you. Happy to be here. Appreciate you giving us the opportunity.
Yes, sir, for sure. And for all the listeners out there, if you're not familiar with Mr. Sifford, I just want to give you a list of some of his accomplishments before we jump into the interview. Mr. Sifford, he won 6 Negro National Open titles. He's the first Black player to obtain a PGA Players card back in 1961. He's the first Black inducted into the Hall of Fame. That occurred in 2004. He's won twice on the PGA Tour in 1967 and 1969. He was the PGA Seniors Champion back in 1975, and he received the Presidential Medal of Freedom from President Barack Obama in 2014. And Mr. Sifford, I believe, passed away in 2015, if my memory serves me correct. That's just a little bit of a long list of accomplishments that this man has achieved during his lifetime. And Russ, before we get into talking about Mr. Sifford and the celebration, can you just do me a favor? Can you give the listener a little bit of your background on what you do outside of the game of golf?
Yeah, happy to. I born and raised in Washington, D.C. I am an engineer by training, spent vast majority of my career in the chemical industry, which is what brought me to Houston, Texas. And I've been down here in Houston for 25 years. And that's ultimately how I met Charlie when I first moved to Houston.
And how long have you been playing the game of golf?
I've been playing since I was a teenager, so close to 40 years. And I started playing with my parents, loved the game. And, you know, it's been an instrumental part of my life. It has helped me in business. I met my wife through some golf colleagues. And so golf has really been a cornerstone of my life and my success.
The one thing in my life, if I could go back and change, I never would have played any other sport.
I hear you.
I'm feeling all those effects from football and all the other sports I played.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, what you find is it's just as competitive and as exhilarating as shooting a three-pointer or scoring a touchdown. It's a lot to it that we will get into as we continue our discussion here.
Yeah, for sure. Now, you mentioned your introduction to Mr. Sifford occurred when you moved to Texas. How did that all play out?
Yeah, man. You know, I had just moved to Houston in the mid-1990s, and I was playing golf with a client in North Houston. And I noticed that they had Charlie's Just Let Me Play book in the pro shop. And I thought to myself, that's kind of odd. A private club in the middle of Texas, why would they have Charlie's book for sale? So I asked the member who had invited us out, and he said, Charlie's one of the pros here. And he said, as a matter of fact, go in and get the book, charge it to my account, and he's probably out in the driving range. He'll sign it for you. And so sure enough, I go to the driving range, and he's the only one out there on the range.
Okay.
And so I didn't want to disturb him. So there was a little plastic chair I pulled up about 25 yards behind him, and I watched him hit about 20 shots. An effortless swing, a pie pan of divots, And mind you, at this point, he's in his 70s. So he stops, he takes a puff of his cigar, and he sticks his hand in his pocket. And he turns to me and he says, "Young man, don't make me pull out my pistol." And then he lets out his unforgettable hearty laugh. He had a unmistakable laugh. And so I told him it wouldn't be the first time to have a pistol pulled on me. And I laugh right back at him. And so I said, "I was waiting for you to finish to sign your book." So from there, man, we became, you know, great friends from the first meeting. We found out we were neighbors. I lived less than a mile away from him. And basically for the last 20 years of his life, we talked and hung out regularly.
You said you guys were neighbors. Mm-hmm. That was in Texas?
Yeah, Houston, Texas, in a neighborhood called Kingwood.
Okay. And over that 20 years, man, that had to have been quite the treat to have access to someone with all that history and knowledge about this game. What was one tip that you received from Mr. Sifford that you still clench on to today?
Bruh, listen, I mean, there, you know, there's so many good stories that I could tell. You know, we hosted a family and friends brunch after his Hall of Fame induction. There were countless nights of smoking cigars in his backyard. But probably my favorite story was having a hole in one in his presence.
Wow.
And, you know, so there was a new golf course that opened in our neighborhood and he wanted to play. So I invited him out and I had only known him about a few months at that time. Mm-hmm. So I was really looking forward to playing golf with the pro. So we're riding in the car together and on about the third hole, I take a swing and he yells at me, "Stop moving your body and hit the ball down here," pointing to the ground, right? And my, you know, my initial reaction was, "Hold up, man, I just met this dude. Who's he yelling at?" You know, right?
You know? Right.
But then I said to myself, I said, "Okay, he's a pro. He knows what he's talking about. I'm going to probably listen and try to do what he said." So I hit a few shots over the next few holes saying to myself, "Stop moving your body and hit the ball down there." And as you might imagine, I hit the ball all over the place, you know, thinking about, you know, what I'm trying to do. Mm-hmm. So I get to the sixth hole, three holes later. It's a par three. It's about 130 yards. And I repeat Charlie's message to myself and I hit one of the best shots of my life. I can feel it when I hit it. Mm-hmm. And Charlie yelled from the cart, "That's it. That's the shot." And I never saw the ball go in the hole. We drive up to the green. I looked everywhere for the ball. And a friend of mine found the ball in the hole.
Wow.
And so we get to the next tee box. At this point, you know, typically if you have a hole in one, you jump up and down, you yell, you high five, all that stuff. But all I could do, my feeling, my sensation was numbness. Like, I just had a hole in one. I can't believe I just had a hole in one, right?
I bet.
And so Charlie on the next tee box lets out his, he's smoking a cigar and he lets out his laugh. And he said, "You see this son of a gun right here. He's going to tell everyone he had a hole in one on Charlie Sifford," and laughed out loud. And I told him, I said, you damn Skippy. And he was right. Now it's on the podcast. So for everybody to know.
That's an awesome story, man. Man, as somebody that loves the game, And admire the history, those 20 years, man, just to sit back there and just take that moment and just smoke that cigar with somebody with that much history has to be something that you just hold on to for the rest of your lives. Man, I can only imagine the stories that you were told. That right there, that gives me chills because I can just envision sitting there just listening to all this history that not many people have access to like that, you know? So that had to be quite the feeling.
Yeah, it was. And I'll give you another short one. So this was shortly before he passed. So this is probably 2013. I was a member of a club here in Houston called Champions. And Champions, their leader, president, pro is Jackie Burke Jr. Jack mm-hmm. Burke Jr. won the 1956 Masters. He won another major. He won many times. And he and Charlie were about a year apart in age. Okay.
Okay.
So basically, they're both in their 90s. And I'm out there and Jackie Burke's on the driving range. And so I called Charlie on the phone. I said, "Hey, Charlie, your friend Jack Burke is on the driving range. You want to talk to him?" He said, "Oh, yeah." So I said, I got to walk about 100 yards to get to him. I'll talk to you on the way. By the time I get to Mr. Burke, I said, Mr. Burke, I have Dr. Charles Sifford on the phone. Would you like to speak to him? He snatched the phone from me. He's 90 years old, okay? And they on the phone like 2 6-year-olds. And they're telling stories about the past. All I can hear at this point is Mr. Burke. So Mr. Burke says, Charlie, first of all, how's your money? Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that. And you remember that time we went to a Sugar Ray Robinson's club in Harlem, and there was all these stars in there, and we stayed all night and had a good time. He said, man, I'll never forget that. And he said, Charlie, listen to me. He said, I told my wife, Robin, when it's my time to go, to bury me with a blade putter in my casket. He said, you listening, Charlie? Put a blade putter in your casket. He said, because Jimmy DeMeritt, my friend who started Champions with me, is already in heaven, and you know he's going to have the greens rolling fast, and you're going to need a blade putter. And I'm sitting there mesmerized, bro. Here are two legends.
Wow.
One's on the phone, one's in my, you know, in front of me. And it's those kind of stories, man, that I will take with me forever. And I'm, you know, glad to share it with you so others can hear, because it really spoke to the history, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it also spoke to the kind of individual that both of these men were, even though they were in their 90s, good people, good-hearted people, tough as nails.
Yeah.
Didn't take no wooden nickels and would tell you about yourself if you did something wrong. Both of them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Old school. And
old school. Charlie was a Gemini. So you know, my dad's a Gemini. So I grew up with that. So I knew that you had to sort of walk to him and figure out, who am I going to see today? Am
right.
I going to see the mean as a snake cat, or am I going to see the jovial joking cat?
Yeah.
And Charlie was both of those things, and I loved him for it.
That's awesome, man. That's amazing, man. That's amazing. Just to sit in here, that'd be a fly on the wall to hear that conversation. Now, this relationship you had with Mr. Sifford, how did that blossom into the centennial celebration?
Yeah, good question, man. It, you know, basically everybody that is close enough to me knew that I had a personal relationship with Charlie. And there's a group of guys that I play golf with. We have a private annual golf trip that we take, 8 to 12 of us. And we actually play for a Sifford trophy. And so over cigars at night and drinks and, you know, just discussions, these guys for years have said, man, you should do something to celebrate Charlie, you know, make a movie. And I said, well, I don't know anything about making a movie.
Mm-hmm.
But what ended up happening is when COVID started and we had a couple of Zoom calls, I ended up reaching out to a friend of mine who I knew was in the media business and, you know, sort of knew how to take this story and take it to the next level and actually create a movie. And he latched on to it. He said, oh, definitely, let's work on this. And so basically May, June of 2020, we began, we added another individual, actually a family member who is a movie producer in L.A. And in addition, the L.A. partner has an estate management branding business. And so he's branded entertainers like Miles Davis and Count Basie and others of mm-hmm. that ilk. And so when we approached the family, I think what resonated to Charles Jr., who has responsibility for Charlie's estate, is the fact that here are two individuals who've made movies before, who have managed estates, who have done things like this for others. And so we signed an agreement with Charles Jr. in the fall of 2020, and we've been working on this thing for about a year.
Now, this is going to be a documentary, correct?
Yeah, and you know, and the celebration itself, each month there is an activation, if you will. And so sort of a few cornerstone events are the documentary, potential for a feature film. We've been approached by a prominent stage actor to do a one-man stage play.
Wow.
And then sprinkled in with that are locations in where Charlie lived his life, where we'll do stuff to lift up his name and share his memorabilia and mm-hmm. do some kids events. So that's what we're working on. That's part of the project plan for 2022.
Okay. It does it look like the documentary and everything will be done by the end of 22? You think it'll be out in 22?
Yeah, I think so. I think we've identified a director. At this point, the outreach to the various studios and the financing sources is the discussion that's currently going on.
Okay.
So I think if we can pin something between now and the end of the year, then that sets us up for a late 22 release of the doc.
Nice.
And the stage play is in a similar place. And then the feature will probably be pushed into 22, maybe in the early part of 23.
Yeah, man, that's a fantastic way to celebrate this, man, with all the things you guys have going on. One thing that you didn't mention, but I came across, was the cigar box. What is that all about? Because when I saw that, I was like, oh, man, I got to order this. And I don't even smoke cigars.
So a part of this effort, we wanted to make sure that there was some merchandise that was available. And, you know, in the discussion with the team, it was clear Charlie started smoking cigars when he was a caddy in Charlotte. And so he started caddying at 12 or 13. And as the story goes, he would basically, he'd get 50 cent a day in wages, 25 cent a bag kind of thing. And so some days it would be 50 cents, some days it'd be a dollar, but it was as much money as his dad made working a full-time job. So he'd give the money to his mom and then he'd keep the tips. You know, he might get a dime or 15 cents in tips. And that's what he would use to buy his cigars. He'd go to the local tobacconist. And so he developed the love of cigars at a very early age. And any picture you see of him over the years, there's a stogie. And he admitted that it helped him with his golf swing. It calmed him down. He could get the wind direction from the smoke that came off the stogie and those sorts of things. And so it was just appropriate for us to introduce a cigar. So John Starks, who's one of the guys that goes on the annual golf trip, has a cigar company called Legend Brand Cigars.
And that's John Starks as a former NBA player, correct?
That's correct. Okay. Former Nick. And he sources his stogies down in the Dominican Republic. They're hand rolled. They're very diverse in terms of the cigars he offers. And I said, you know, would you be open to make a cigar for Charlie? And so we basically this summer got a graphic artist to develop a beautiful box.
Yeah, it is beautiful.
We're offering a box of five cigars. There's a little story on the back. So it's a great keepsake. Again, those are available on legendscigars.com. Easy to get. And then the other thing that we did this summer was his book, Just Let Me Play, has been out of print for some time. And so we basically cleared the legal hurdles and made sure that the estate could advance this. And so we reprinted the book, but we added pictures. We added an epilogue to the book to bring it up to date. And so that's available on Amazon, a centennial edition of the Just Let Me Play. So for people who don't know about Charlie, part of our plan for next year is to include both Charlie's Just Let Me Play book, and there's a children's book called Charlie Takes a Shot. And we've been in touch with the writer and the publisher, and they've given us the green light to include that as part of our centennial activities. And so, you know, you get to a first tee program, you got 100 kids, you want to give them a shirt, a hat, a book, you know, that's the plan. So anyway, yeah, we've got a couple of things. We've got a hat coming out. So we'll try to get that out before Christmas. But I mean, as a Christmas gift, I mean, you could give a friend, a family member who enjoys, you know, reading history or wants a Siffert hat, or wants a box of cigars.
Yeah.
You know? So there's a couple of different options for the Christmas shopper this year.
Yeah, man, that cigar box is crazy. It's beautiful. I mean, I don't know who the artist was or the designer that put it all together. Man, they did a hell of a job on it. John Starks, how did he come into the picture? Was that someone that you knew?
Yeah, as I mentioned, he got introduced to our golf group in 2010. And so we actually, that year, 2010, 2011, we actually took a golf trip to Scotland. And again, there's eight of us. And so we got to know John. And you know, what's ironic, and I tell John this all the time, there are a lot of similarities between his personality and Charlie's. They were both very competitive, very tenacious, but very good-hearted.
Yeah.
And both loved cigars. And so I talked to John. I said, hey, man, would you be open to making a Siffert cigar? And he said, yeah. He said, that's what I created the Legend brand for. And so he's had his cigar for probably that long, 10 mm-hmm. years. And so we've just added this and extended his brand, if you will.
Yeah, man. Like I say, it's a beautiful package. I'm going out to Pebble Beach in January, me and my three buddies that I play with on the regular. And I will be ordering some to take with me on that trip. Like I say, I don't even smoke cigars, but just for a keepsake, the packaging alone is just absolutely stunning. Hats off to whoever came up with that design. I'm sorry, what was that?
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. I was going to say that the cigars are light. They're tasty. So they have really good flavor, but they aren't the kind of cigar that if you smoke them, you won't be able to drive your car. You can smoke these even for the non-smoker. This is really a good introductory cigar. They burn nicely. And one of Charlie's grandnephews, Chris Sifford, has done some Facebook Lives with the box, with the cigar, and he's done some taste tests. So we're getting a little bit of free advertising from the Sifford family. Charles Jr., his son, same thing. So, yeah, we're excited about it.
It's awesome. If there's anything I can do here to help you guys promote this whole celebration, any of the items, the merchandise, please just feel free to reach out. I'll be happy to do my part and do my little bit to get the word out, because I think it's absolutely fantastic what you guys are doing. And I hope everything, especially the documentary, comes together, because I have another podcast called Black and Proud, where I actually did an episode on Mr. Sifford. And some of the things that I learned about the gentleman, I think will make a fantastic doc for a lot of people, because there was a lot of information that I did not know, like some of the things that went on in the Carolinas and how he ended up out in California. And I don't want to spill none of it, so I'll save it for the documentary and everything. But guys, definitely when these products come out, go support this whole cause, because I think it's something that's just fantastic. I am so glad that, and shout out to Mr. Al Quarles for putting me in contact with Russ here to do this interview, because I was not aware of this. And that's why I started this podcast, because there's a lot of things going on in terms of golf in the Black community that many Black folks don't know about that play this game. And like even with Al's product, Buck Ofoge, I had never heard of, and I've been playing the game for 20 years. You know, I had never heard of the product until I decided to launch this podcast. So there's a lot of people out there that have not been exposed to this information. Mr. Sifford, you know, the whole celebration and all that stuff. So anything I can do at all, Russ, please let me know, and I'll do my small part to help you guys get the word out. Real quick, before I get off of Mr. Sifford here, I want to get into your history with the game. What was your introduction to the game of golf?
I mentioned this a little bit at the outset. My parents played. So okay. My father was playing. And ultimately, when my sister and I both left the house, my mother picked up the game as a way to give her something to do with my dad. And so they were playing. And I grabbed some of my dad's clubs and they invited me out with them. And so I started beating the ball around. D.C., you know, there's a golf course called Langston that is like many cities where African-Americans live around the country. There is always the one course where Black folks play.
Yeah.
And so we would go out there. We would go to several others. And it just hit me like it hits most people. And you start loving the various aspects of the game. And so from there, my first job, I was working in the summer for DuPont. And again, I'm an engineer. So DuPont has a country club, and we're at a end of summer symposium for the summer students. And when it ended at noon, some of the guys, some of the recruiters were off on the side talking about, hey, we're about to, you know, tee them up and they need a fourth. I said, well, I got my clubs in the car. And I joined them. I got my first job through golf.
Nice.
And ultimately, you know, I played with a friend and introduced me to my wife again through golf.
Yeah.
So a number of things throughout that 40-year period of playing, client engagements and those sorts of things were the norm. And it's nothing like golf to really get to know somebody. 4 hours plus of interaction.
For sure.
You really get to know someone, develop a relationship, develop a level of trust such that, you know, you can do business with them.
Yeah.
And that's been my good fortune. And again, along the way, I crossed paths with Charlie, and it's a blessing. That's all I can say.
It's definitely that. That's for sure, man. That's for sure. Now, for somebody that's been playing this game any length of time, we all have that one shot that we just constantly brag about. What's your one shot?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's...
Well, I think you already told the story, so yeah, I don't think you can top that one.
I can't. Not at all, man. Not at all. Not at all. And now the world knows. Like Charlie said, I'm going to tell everybody.
Yeah, yeah. What's the strongest part of your game?
You know, it varies, right? It comes and goes. I generally am a good putter, but I'm just coming off a golf trip where I put it terribly. I hit the ball pretty good off the tee this particular trip, but just like golf, man, some things you do well and some things you struggle with. And
yeah,
sometimes it comes together, and that's when it really is exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly if you do that in a competitive situation where there's a trophy at stake, or, you know, even a side bet against somebody who may have been kicking your butt, but you finally get them once or twice. That's always a pleasure. So I'm always working on it, though.
It's definitely a work in progress.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a work in progress for sure.
Yeah, man, I hear that. Well, before we get out of here, Russ, can you do me a favor? If anybody wanted to go over and get more information about the celebration, about yourself, about Mr. Sifford, where are some locations they can go online to get that information?
Yeah, so appreciate it for the cigars. We talked about legendscigars.com, Amazon for the book. Then for the centennial celebration, Facebook, just put Charlie Sifford in the search and our site will pop up. Instagram, Twitter, same thing. We're going to use social media as our way of projecting this.
Okay, and I'm going to have links to all of that down in the show notes. So please go over and check out all the information, follow them on social media so you can get the updates when things are coming out and being released, and just follow the whole progress of what's going on with the celebration there for Mr. Sifford. Any last words before we get out of here, man?
As we look into 2022 and the celebration, there are sort of three broad categories of activities. There's the Sifford celebration that involves the PGA Tour, involves sponsors that will have some events in the cities where Charlie lived.
Mm-hmm.
The second category is children's events. We're going to partner with First Tee and organizations like First Tee. And broadly, it's an expose kids to Charlie's story, because that's where we think the biggest impact and influence, mm-hmm. you know, will be. And we think that's where Charlie would want us to focus. And then lastly, there are some philanthropic opportunities. You know, First Tee is a 501c3. There are many other golf organizations that also have that designation. There's a Sifford Endowment at Maryland Eastern Shore. Maryland Eastern Shore is the only HBCU with a PGA-sanctioned golf management program. And so Charlie's memorabilia there, they have an endowment. So we're talking to sponsors about basically using their philanthropic dollars to uplift either these focused on kids or, you know, organizations focused on management, as well as, you know, getting people, the Advocate Tour, those ready to make the jump to the professional ranks. Sponsoring them requires money. So there's some opportunities there. So those are the broad categories of activities we've got planned for next year,
okay.
All focused on uplifting the name of Dr. Charlie Sifford.
Yeah. Now you just reminded me of something that I wanted to ask you. Has there been any outreach from the PGA or say Tiger on this project anywhere?
Yeah, talking to both organizations, we started early with the PGA Tour with a letter directly to Jay Monahan, and he's responded. His folks are actively working with us and defining several activities for next year. Hadn't been announced yet, but there's going to be some things that the World Golf Hall of Fame does with Charlie's name,
okay.
Image, and likeness. And then the Tiger Woods Foundation is somebody we've talked to for the last several months about activations. They are actively involved in the management of the Genesis Open, which is the tournament that Charlie won in 1969. It was the LA Open at the time. And so that'll be our kickoff event for the year. So more to come specifically on that activation, but certainly that's another philanthropic opportunity for our sponsors to think about supporting Tigers Foundation.
Great, man. Great. Again, folks, I'm going to have links to all of that down in the show notes. Go over, support, and follow, do whatever you need to do to get updates on what's going on with the celebration for Mr. Sifford. On that note, man, again, I appreciate you jumping on with me and taking time out of your day to come join me on the podcast. Everybody, do me a favor, please. Whatever platform you're listening to the podcast on, make sure you follow us, subscribe, whatever they ask you to do on that platform. Leave a review. That is how the podcast gets found by all these algorithms and everything. So please go to Out the Trap. That's outthetrap.com/reviews. There's a link down in the show notes. You can click on that link and it'll take you right over, and you can leave a review on whatever platform you choose to leave a review on. It's important that we get those reviews. There are a lot of golf podcasts out there, but there are only three that I know of for Black folks, and this is one of them. So let's push this one to the top. I just recently got the numbers, and even though we're only five episodes in, we actually hit number 76 out of literally hundreds of podcasts in the golf category on Apple. So please support. I'd appreciate it. I want to get this podcast up there. And the best way to do that is to leave reviews. So on that note, Russ, sir, you take care. I appreciate you. You guys keep hitting them straight, and I'll see you guys on the next episode. All right, I'm out of here. Bye-bye.